Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I mean, we can take a time out. You know, we got the guys on the field. You know, they're a big man team. You know, we took a shot. And with that, you live with it. The right decision. Everybody can... as we always say, and y'all don't know, but as we always say, you can always hold that clicker and press pause or slow-mo, but, you know, the right decision is, you know, if we hit that play, if I hit that play to Rome, you know, it would be a different conversation here. So the right play isn't, you know, always, you can't always make the right play. You gotta make a decision and go with it.
We're back. Live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's obviously Bears rookie quarterback Caleb Williams talking about the way the final 32 seconds played out on Thanksgiving in Detroit, them only getting that one playoff, the incomplete pass to Rome Odunze with zeros on the clock, even though the Bears had a timeout in their pocket. And I get what he's saying. Things are moving fast. And I get, especially with him being a rookie, how it gets away from him. I don't understand how it gets away from the head coach who's standing on the sidelines watching that thing go down with that look on his face that we all saw as the game came to a final. Joining me now to talk about that game and what might be next for the Chicago Bears, easy for me to say. He does power rankings in NFL draft for NFL Media and NFL.com. It is Eric Edholm. Eric, how are you this morning, my friend?
Yeah, that look on his face. I like how you phrase that. That's a good way to everyone knows that look. Yeah,
that look is infamous now. That's the look of a man who's about to get fired from his job. Eric, I know you're in the Chicago area and have been for a long time. I'm assuming you were watching this game around family and friends who had a vested interest in this game. What was it like wherever you were watching that football game as all 32 seconds ticked off and the Bears only getting one play ran?
I wasn't working, but like you said, I was at my wife's aunt's house and people were still kind of trickling in. I think some wanted to see the game at home first before driving to the Thanksgiving festivities. The few who arrived later were in a noticeably bad mood. I wonder why, right? The ones who were there were as gobsmacked and as stunned in silence as I was. And I kept thinking, you know, at first I thought, you know, because I was kind of running back and forth or whatever, but I thought maybe they have the timeout on the board, like on the graphic, but they actually don't have it, you know, because I just walked in as that last play was kind of unfolding. So, of course, find out, no, they had it. They just chose to keep it in their pockets, you know. So, yeah, like you said, I think it's a situation where the head coach has to realize, okay, he's letting too much time burn. We've got to stop the bleeding now and keep enough time for two plays. I mean, that's just the bottom line right there, how you don't have a plan B set up. I mean, plan A is great if it works, and if it doesn't, you have to have the ability to tie the game and give yourselves a shot in overtime. So, yep, final straw. That kind of did it for him.
Talking with Eric Edholm of NFL.com here on 670 The Score. You do the power rankings for NFL.com, yeah. And so you have an eye on this whole league. And one of the questions I was asking earlier in the show, Eric, was reports are that he lost his team after the Hail Mary in D.C. And it's just been a slippery slope since then of this team just slipping away from Matt Eberflus, whatever belief and control that he had before that, slowly slipping away. Knowing as much as you do about the NFL and who are the powerhouses of this league and quite frankly, who are not, was there any way to save this season if the Bears recognize it then and make a change at head coach? Or was this thing lost the day they decided to bring Matt Eberflus back as head coach in the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question I think a lot of people are kind of starting with, you know, today or whatever this week. I mean, obviously, if you look at, and not to say that, okay, just because another team does it or a slew of other teams do something that it's guaranteed to be the right way. There are trends in this league that, you know, start with one team doing it successfully and five other teams mimicking it and it doesn't work. But that said, the common sort of trend in recent years has been you're in the Bears position, you know you're getting a quarterback in the draft. Like, they knew it. I mean, there was no other way to say that unless they just weren't impressed with Caleb Williams or a, you know, record top of the draft depth at quarterback. None of them appealed to them. They were drafting a quarterback, hell or high water, one way or the other. And so typically the move has been you start fresh. You bring in a quarterback and a head coach that you see fitting as a pair. And so now the Bears have obviously been stuck in this kind of thing where they've, you know, and again, I mean, it raises questions about Ryan Poles. I mean, I think he's done a lot of good things, but also some, you know, when it comes to bringing in head coaches and deciding whether they get to stay or not, the decisions on Eberflus reflect negatively against them. So the question is, are you betrothing this GM with somebody he may not have worked with before, but is viewed as the best fit for Caleb? Okay, I can see that. You know, what's the next move from here? But, yeah, it's hard not to think that the problem was more off-season than it was firing Eberflus two or three weeks ago. I don't think that would have, you know, magically saved or cleansed or, you know, blessed the locker room in any way that was going to significantly impact this season. Maybe you win a couple games, you know, but that go differently. But, you know, I think the big off-season questions now lead to how do you fix this and who's the right man to come in and save this team.
And we've seen a couple of reports about how that search will go down, what exactly they're looking for in that search. And you talked about, you know, the pairing of a rookie quarterback with a head coach who you feel is the best fit for him to grow and develop in this league. According to CBS Sports, I read the report earlier on the show, they're not dead set on an offensive-minded guy, which I think is what a lot of people want. They're more in the market for a quote-unquote leader of men and quote-unquote culture builders. Do you think that's the right approach to take, or should there be an emphasis on this being an offensive-minded head coach, the next guy for the Bears?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think it's one you have to ponder carefully. On the one hand, it's easy to say, of course you want the offensive guy, right? That's what we need. And we have a quarterback that we've invested all this in and we've seen flashes of brilliance, but you got to get him straight first. I get that. But there are defensive background coaches who have had successful offensive quarterbacks or who have helped develop quarterbacks before, you know, that, you know, Dan Quinn coming in, for instance, this year, a guy who interviewed for the Bears job, by the way, 2 years ago, has done a terrific job letting, you know, again, even with their recent slide, has let, you know, Jaden Daniels run Cliff's offense. Cliff has autonomy. You know, they collaborate, whatever. You could still get it done a different way. So I think the leader of men concept is a lot stronger overall. Could it get you in trouble if you, you know, like, for instance, Quinn had Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta, and it was a great setup for a couple years. Then all of a sudden Shanahan gets the San Francisco job. They're kind of left in the lurch trying to figure out who's calling plays, how's this offense going to run, never reach the same peak. So that possibly could happen, right? You hire somebody who's not considered the offensive guru, the McVay Shanahan type, the McDaniel type, whatever. And then, you know, you have to replace your OC if they do well in 2 years. I say, hey, take that risk. I mean, I'd rather have the strong head coach who has great feel for building a team from the ground up, understanding what it takes on game day and knowing how game management situations work, and worry about the offensive coordinator issue when that problem arises, if it does.
Talking with Eric Edholm of NFL.com here on The Score on a Sunday morning. Your NFL media cohort, Ian Rappaport, said this morning that it'll be Kevin Warren, the Bears president, leading the search for the next head coach, and that the GM, Ryan Poles, would be assisting in that search. Is that the norm in the NFL on any level? And B, what do you personally think about Kevin Warren being the guy to lead that search and not sort of giving Ryan Poles that power that a GM normally has?
Yeah, not every general manager has, you know, final say on these matters. Obviously, there have been teams in the recent past, like the Bill Belichick Patriots, where, you know, the head coach is sort of overseeing everything. Sometimes there is a team president who's got, you know, at least as much power, or, you know, 50% plus one, or, you know, whatever, the tie-breaking vote, if you will. You know, so there are some setups. Obviously, Jerry Jones in Dallas is not going to bring in a coach or a GM or somebody of import without, you know, his approval. So every team's got a little bit of a different structure, but I think there's a little bit of a, hey, you handle personnel, I'll take care of the rest. Now, Kevin Warren hasn't figured out the Bears stadium situation yet. There's obviously a lot of big, you know, business issues that hang over the Bears, but you know, it's going to be a very busy offseason all of a sudden. I don't think anyone is shocked by that news, but, you know, the Bears have some interesting options here. They have, you know, kind of a head start, and I would say a more attractive situation than some of the other vacancies. Obviously, we have one in New Orleans. You know, that situation is, you know, I would say, not nearly as good, and they can, you know, they have a candidate from within in Thomas Brown that is auditioning for the job. If he and Caleb do great things together, you never know. You know, that could be a possibility. He's a young, engaging, energetic guy who is going to get the first crack at the job, if you will, and audition on, you know, with the players involved. So, you know, if there's a sea change over the final set of games here, you can't rule him out. You can't rule out the internal candidate. Would that, you know, set off fireworks in Chicago? I don't know. But the important thing is to get the job right. Figure this thing out and worry about any short-term backlash, you know, kick that can down the road. Who cares? You know, if you have conviction that your guy is in the building.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that would be a great thing. It would be a lot easier, but I suspect they're going to cast a pretty wide net and see and look at different kinds of candidates too, not just, you know, the young, hot, up-and-coming offensive coordinator types. Like, I think there'll be a good mix in here. That's what Warren's experience probably tells him, is that it'd be good to have a swath of candidates here so that we can, you know, compare apples to kumquats whenever we need to.
Hey, Eric, I like I said before, one of your responsibilities for NFL media is you put together those power rankings that go up on NFL.com. You don't have to put an exact number on this because I'm kind of putting you on the spot with this question. But if you were just looking at rosters, at NFL rosters, and factoring in nothing else, where do you think ballpark it the Bears would be in your power rankings? Because coming into this season, I think a lot of Bears fans looked at all the additions in terms of the weapons put around Caleb Williams on the offensive side. You looked at what this defense did last year, and we were looking at this roster going, man, this is pretty damn good. If they have some decent coaching to lead it, this they could have something here. Were we misguided? Were we overinflating how good this roster was?
Well, no, considering they fired the offensive coordinator halfway into the season. I mean, you know, that right there was an indication, like, we clearly think highly of the roster, too. We believe we have talent, and yet the results aren't there. So, no, I don't think you can say that the Bears have a talent problem. I don't think you would ever, in good faith, argue that they have one of the, you know, 10 worst rosters or anything like that. I don't even think you'd put them in the bottom half of the league. I think that's really what these two firings, Waldron and Eberflus, say, is that they view this team as a team with a roster with top 12 type talent, top 15 at worst. But right now they're playing like a bottom 10 team. And so that's where the disconnect is. That's what we can't sort of square here. So I don't think that's overshooting by saying that they have, you know, one of the 12 or 14 best rosters in the league. I don't know if I would go higher than top 10. You know, I mean, again, with some additions on the offensive line, maybe a few other pieces here and there, now we're getting in that discussion. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons to stand up for Ryan Poles, is that they found some dudes the last few years. They filled some cracks and they filled some holes, but you know, that synergy, that quality is not there yet. They haven't been able to become more than their individual values added up.
Talking with Eric Edholm of NFL Media, NFL.com, for just a couple more minutes here on The Score on a Sunday morning. That being said, the report I referred to earlier from CBS saying what kind of candidate that the Bears were looking for, it also said a source within the organization believes it's a very attractive position for any head coaching candidates, given the roster, given Caleb Williams being the quarterback and what he's flashed in his rookie year. But you also have the dysfunction that led up to and has been sort of brought to light since the firing of Matt Eberflus. Does that take away from how attractive a job it is to any potential candidates, in your opinion, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think there are times when it depends on the candidate, I think, is the way that I would answer it. I mean, there are some people, it's funny, you think, okay, having the quarterback is a good thing, you know, bird in the hand, right? Teams will want to come here, they don't have to worry about that position. It's not always that case, and it's surprised me over the years when I've talk to agents and ask them, hey, what is your guy looking for in a job? And sometimes they want to pick their own quarterback. And I know this is probably a little bit shocking to hear that some people may not want Caleb Williams, like Bill Belichick, for instance. Either he's the best poker player ever, but the three or four times I've heard him talk about Williams hasn't been very complimentary.
No, you're right.
That may be Bill. He may be a curmudgeon. He may not be the candidate for this job. You know, you can wash your hands and move on from that one. That's fine. But I'm just saying that isn't always considered a positive, but I think more often than not, especially when you're talking about one of these young Ben Johnson in Detroit, you know, I don't know if Liam Cohen in Tampa is going to get a lot of interviews this year, but he might get some. You know, there are other guys who kind of fit that mold of, you know, the Drew Petsing in Arizona has been very impressive with what he's had. Other candidates of that kind of ilk, maybe they view Williams as like, hey, I can fix this guy. I can absolutely take the Porsche out on the highway and show you how to drive it. So that's going to be how they interview. As far as the locker room discord stuff, you know, that's where a candidate like Brian Flores or Mike Vrabel could come in and say, I will right this ship. My number one goal is to get cohesion in the locker room, accountability. You know, it starts with me. That was a big thing with the Eberflus. It never felt like he could take the blame fully on that, on you know, in-game issues and things like that, or decisions that were made. You know, somebody like that, I think, would come in and campaign with the idea of, you could have the best quarterback in the world, but if you don't get the ship in order, the whole 53-man group playing as one, it's not going to work. So that's where that diversity of candidates really is going to be interesting to see who they end up going with and you know, who's going to sell them on that kind of idea.
Last one for you, Eric, and I wish I wasn't asking you this question, but one of the things that you do for NFL.com is you talk draft. You look at the NFL draft and who's coming out. Obviously, the Bears need help on both lines, on offense and defensive line. How deep are those positions in the upcoming NFL draft from what you've seen?
Yeah, it's funny. I think as we get closer here, and we don't, you know, truly know yet, we're still kind of waiting on, sure, you know, the underclassmen, how it's going to all look out, sort of cast out a little bit. But, yeah, I would say better on the defensive line than the offensive line. I think in August I might have had a slightly different opinion, but as time has gone on and I've talked to more personnel people, a lot of the college offensive tackles who are kind of, you know, if you looked at a mock draft in August, let's say, and I know people do just sort of peer at them just to see the names and stuff, you would have seen five or six offensive linemen in round one. I don't know that that happens now. Again, there's so many moving parts, hard to really know, but a lot of those college left tackles are probably a little short-armed for NFL left tackle duty or even right tackle duty. So some of those guys now become guards. You know, I know Peter Skoronski went top 10 a couple years ago, but typically those guys slide a little more. So I would say more of the strength is on the defensive line. Could be a great class up front. That really could be the heart of this draft, is the defensive side and specifically the front seven. So, but day two, I think you'll get some good value there as well. Free agency is not a great class for offensive tackles either, so that's something to keep in mind, but guard and center will be a little stronger.
That's Eric Edholm. Check out his work at NFL.com, on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. Great stuff, as always, Eric. Really appreciate the time on a Sunday morning, man. Go enjoy your NFL Sunday.
All right, enjoy the Sunday, best you can anyway.
Thanks, buddy. And he joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. We'll hit a quick break. I want to get back to your calls, your text, right after this at 312-644-6767. Just where are you at with Ryan Poles and anybody on your mind to be the next Bears head coach? We'll discuss all that. 312-644-6767 if you want to get in with me, Rami Makhlouf, on the Score on a Sunday morning.
That's an empty set. It's third down and one from the 31. Williams takes a high snap. He's back to throw on third and one. He'll serve it deep down the left sideline and drop it in the bucket. It's a touchdown, DJ Moore. 31 yards away, he burned Joseph, and it's 23-19, the Lions. 5:36 to go.
I want to say probably the biggest difference is we had a lot of energy coming out of there. We was all involved in the play, so it was like we never know who's going to get the ball and on what play and be able to make a big play out of it. And we had a few of those, but that was it.
We're back live with more Rami McLaugh on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
The highlight, that's Jason Benetti, you know that voice on Westwood One, calling the DJ Moore touchdown on Thanksgiving Day. And then that was DJ Moore talking about the change in the offense since Thomas Brown took over as offensive coordinator. Thomas Brown will now take over as the interim head coach for the remaining five games for the Chicago Bears. Who would you like to see be the next head coach? 312-644-6767. I've got some names on my list. I'll get through those in just one second. But I also want to know where you're at with Ryan Poles right now. And I talked about this a little earlier with Mark Potash in the first hour, the 9 a.m. hour of the show. And he had a piece at ChicagoSunTimes.com. Heat is on the Bears GM Ryan Poles to get this hire right. And the byline reads, Pohl has lost a benefit of the doubt after missing on Matt Eberflus, but deserves the chance to prove he has learned from his mistake. Has Ryan Poles lost a benefit of the doubt with you? I know a lot of you would get angry if I so much as hint at questioning Ryan Poles and his plan for the Bears leading into this season. A lot of y'all were calling him King Poles heading into the season. And I was sitting here going, look, I like a lot of what he's done, but he's lost just as much as Justin Fields. He's lost just as much as Matt Eberflus. And do we really know that he has a good head coach? Do we really know that he's put together a good offensive line in front of the franchise savior in Caleb Williams? Do we really know that they hired a competent offensive coordinator in Shane Waldron? And the answer to all three of those questions has been no, he didn't do that. And I was wondering if he did that before the season started. And you can do everything else right, and being wrong on those three will collapse the entire thing. We'll bring the whole house of cards down. He has to hit on those things. He had to hit on those things before the season started for this thing to look the way we all wanted it to look, and he has to hit on those things moving forward. That is, if he has any say in who the next head coach is going to be. Reports from Ian Rappaport saying that'll be Kevin Warren's job, and Ryan Poles will just be assisting in that. But the question of has he lost a benefit of the doubt, I don't know about y'all. Ryan Poles never had any benefit of doubt for me. And that's by no fault of Ryan Poles. I've said what I'm about to say for a long time, and I was glad to have it validated by two guys who cover the Bears closely and have been doing it for a long time, and that's Mark Grody and Hub Arkish. I said what I'm about to say to you, to them, and they were like, yeah, that's fair. I would say it before, and I wasn't sure if it was fair. I was like, are you being fair, Rami, in saying that? I have doubts about anyone hired by the Bears simply on the basis that they were hired by the Bears. If the Bears hired you, I'm going, I know your resume looks good. You came from Kansas City. You were there for a long time. You had a hand in building that Super Bowl winning team. But why did the Bears hire you? Like, what's missing here? What's amiss? What's wrong with this guy that the Bears are hiring them? Kevin Warren, same thing. Great resume as the president of the Big Ten and blah, blah, blah. Did some good things. But why'd the Bears hire you? Because they tend to hire the most incompetent people in the NFL. And that would explain, If it wasn't Ryan Poles' decision and was, in fact, a Bears organizational decision to hire Matt Eberflus, that would explain why and how you got the most incompetent head coach in the NFL and Matt Eberflus. No one has the benefit of the doubt the day they're hired by the Bears, in my book. So Ryan Poles never really had it. He's earned about, 60% of my trust as a GM. given what he's done with the roster and where it was to where it is now, with the salary cap, where it was to where it is now, with the draft position that they've been in, where it was and where they are now in terms of the assets that they have to work with. He's done a lot of good things. But he never had the benefit of the doubt, and he's done some not-so-good things, too. When you look at some of the players he's acquired, some of the players he's let go, the inability to build an offensive line, the inability to put together any real pass rush, the inability to identify good coaches. Like I said, do everything else right, and if you can't do those things right, it'll sabotage the whole thing. So has Ryan Poles lost the benefit of the doubt with you? Did he ever had it? Where are you at with the Bears GM? And who do you want to see be the next head coach? 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Skokie and Brian, who dialed that number. Now he's on the score. What's up, Brian? Brian? Okay. I will try Mike in Orland Park.
Can you hear me?
Mike.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there's Brian. What's up, Brian? Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Sorry about that. Hey, so I like the idea, you know, we had the OC coming as the head coach, but, you know, my concern is what if he nails it and the Bears are like, you know, you're good, but, you know, they do a Bears thing and say, well, we don't want you as a head coach. Now he's got momentum and now we can lose him and a coordinator. What do you think about that?
That's a concern of mine, Brian. I appreciate the call. And that goes back to exactly what I was just talking about. Whatever they decide to do with Thomas Brown, I'm going to be pretty sure it's the wrong choice. Simply on the fact that it's the Chicago Bears. I know that's a really pessimistic way of looking at things. It's not good for my mental health. It might not be what you're looking to hear today on a Sunday morning. But if the Bears keep Thomas Brown, I'm going to be sitting here going, man, that guy might have just pulled the wool over their eyes. They might have just bought fool's gold. You know, if he does something in these last 5 weeks that makes them or me or you think, you know what, maybe this guy is an NFL head coach. I'll be convinced if they hire Thomas Brown that it's fool's gold. And that he got one past him and got the job.
And that's like not even Thomas Brown's fault. It's just like
no,
the Bears.
It's not Ryan Poles fault that I think that way. It's not Thomas Brown's fault that I think that way.
They've broken us, man. They made us like this.
Yes. They've bred this distrust in the organization. And the opposite is true.
The hell with them. The horse that rode in on them.
If they let Thomas Brown go somewhere else, I'll be convinced he's going to be a great head coach in this league someday.
Yeah, me too. You
know what I mean? Like, no matter what they do with Thomas Brown,
you just lose.
I hate to say that. Here, a text from the 630. You are dead right about Ryan Poles. Looking over his tenure with the Bears, he has only hit on at best three of all his draft picks and free agent signings. And this from the 414. Come on, man. Lighten up. Every dog has their day. That's what we got to hope for. I've said this to me and my brother. We argue about the Bears a lot. And I'm always right. And he's always wrong if we disagree.
Obviously.
Yes. But I've said that very thing before. When he says every dog has their day, I'm looking for the Bears to luck into the right guy. That's what it's going to take. They're going to have to fall ass backwards into the right head coach. They're going to have to do it by accident. That's what's got to happen here for the Bears to get this thing right. They got to go through all their dysfunctional nonsense that they always go through and somehow just fall into the right head coach. They're not going to do it through like good processes or being a smart and competent organization that's well organized and has a clear hierarchy and chain of command. That's not going to happen. They're going to stumble into the right guy eventually, hopefully. That's what we got to hope for, that every dog does indeed have their day. But it's not going to be because they're smart. It's not going to be because they're good and they know what they're doing and they know the right things to look for. They're going to look for all the wrong things, and just by coincidence, the coach is also going to have all the right things. That's just, and Sean's right. It's not our fault. It's not my fault that I think this way.
It's the Bears' fault. It's the McCaskey's fault that I think this way and I feel this way. It's an absolute joke of an organization and has been for most of my life. 312-644-6767. Joe is on the road. Now he's on the score. What's up, Joe?
Oh, man, so you win Super Bowls by knowing things that other people don't. So, for example, Bill Walsh said, I have this system, and that third-round pick from Notre Dame is the guy I'm going to run it with. So you don't need the first pick. You don't need to trade two first-round picks for Jay Cutler. This leader of men stuff, like, what are they, watching Rocky movies all day? And they're like, go trot out the leader of men line to everybody? Like, it just – what are you talking about? I mean, it's so obvious, leaders of men.
Yes. Yeah, that should be the first thing. That should 100% be the first thing you look for, but there are so many other things to look for in an NFL head coach.
It's like, we just want someone who can, like, you know, take charge.
No, but you know what? Like, I'm glad they recognized it. I'm glad that they recognized that you need somebody who can stand in front of a room and command the attention and the belief of the people that you're talking to. Because they hired and stuck with a guy for 3 years who didn't have that. And hired and stuck with a guy for 3 years before him who didn't have that. And hired and stuck with a guy for 2 years before him who didn't have that. And hired and stuck with a guy for 2 years before him who didn't have that. I'm so glad they finally recognized that you need to have a leader of men. Be a leader of men.
Meaning what?
I was really planning on enjoying my Sunday. Then I walked in here and started talking about this nonsense. Here's a text from the 847 on the report that from me and Rappaport that Kevin Warren would be heading up the search for a head coach. From the 847, the Warren spin could be that looking for head coaches so Poles can focus on player acquisition. Let Poles be a GM. For whatever it is that he is going to do or can do, just let him be a GM. Don't make this guy sit there and watch you hire a head coach and then take all the heat when this team doesn't win for the next 2 years and it has to get blown up and he has to get fired. Like, if it's not going to work, just let it not work. On his own terms. And honestly, while I don't have faith or trust in anybody who works for the Chicago Bears because they work for the Chicago Bears, I trust Ryan Poles more than I do Kevin Warren.
He's a guy you really like to like.
And here's why. He's at least done some of his job well. I don't know what Kevin Warren has done well. I really don't know what Kevin Warren has done well. I thought, and I think a lot of people within the sound of my voice right now thought, that when this guy was hired and they were inching towards the finish line, when he was hired, of getting a new stadium, that it would be done by December 1st, 2024. I thought the Bears would be a more competitive team by now, and that's a lot of that is on Ryan Poles, but they're closer to being a competitive team than they are having a new stadium. So Ryan Poles has done a better job in my eyes than Kevin Warren has in terms of the tasks that they've been assigned. Ryan Poles was told build a roster. He's done that to some degree. Kevin Warren was told build a stadium. Not one shovel has hit dirt. And now they're going to put on his plate, oh, go hire a head coach too. I know you didn't do the first thing we asked you to do, but go hire a head coach too. Huh? What? Let the GM GM. How does that sound? I'm going to take more of your calls, and I'll give you some names that I have in mind as the Bears' next head coach in just a few minutes. 312-644-6767. I'll wrap things up with you. More of your calls, more of your texts, and if you have ideas for who should be the next Bears' head coach, we'll get to all that with one more segment right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
One of the things I always look at coming home to the city is I always look for cranes in the air.
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Thomas Brown will have an opportunity to coach for that job. The Bears will consider other candidates as well. Everybody's going to have their eye on Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator. And I think he might have some interest in that job. We'll see if they can convince him to come to Chicago.
That's Adam Schefter on ESPN talking about potential Bears head coaching candidates. I am Robbie Maklof with you for one more segment here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 Score. Obviously talking Bears and what's going on with the head coach position all morning long. There was a report earlier today, actually it came out yesterday, from Adam Johns and Diana Rossini from The Athletic, talking about how and when Matt Eberflus lost this locker room, including an outburst from Jalen Johnson and other players in the locker room after that Thanksgiving nightmare that we all witnessed. Jay Glazer had a little something on that as well. Here he is on Fox NFL Sunday today.
Right after the game, it wasn't exactly a Thanksgiving festive situation over there. Right afterwards, Matt Eberflus started talking to the team, kind of almost washing it over. Hey, guys, sorry about this, but this is the type of adversity we need. And immediately, Jalen Johnson, their Pro Bowl cornerback, interrupts him and starts speaking in very colorful language that I usually use off the air over here. And it went on for about 10, 15 minutes, I was told. That's the last Eberflus talk. It was Jalen Johnson after that. But at that moment, those players in there, people in the organization knew, that's it for Matt Eberflus. He's gone.
Yeah, they were done with him, and they made it official the next day. So who are some of the candidates to fill in for him?
Funny you should ask, Kurt. Come on, let's get over the wall over here. Let's check it out. And look, I think the number one thing there for them is they're going to need an offensive coach, I think, that can really sit there and teach and mold Caleb Williams over the years. They could develop him. So you look at some of the guys out there like Arthur Smith, what he's doing in Pittsburgh right now. Ben Johnson, obviously, he's the bell of the ball for everybody. And Slowick and Brady have got good quarterbacks, but Cliff Kingsbury has already been with him at USC. And then you got these other coaches also, but you have to sit there and go, man, can these guys develop him? And then, look, we have these defensive coaches. If they want to keep, Thomas Brown, who's in there now, you have some leaders and men over here. The only problem with defensive coaches, if you have success there as a defensive coach, your offensive coordinators will usually get hired as head coaches, so you don't have that consistency that you want for a guy like Caleb Williams. So I look at them and say, we're going to get an offensive coach who can mold him for years to come.
There's Jay Glazer on Fox earlier today. 10, 15 minutes that went on in the locker room. That's
can you imagine Jalen just undressing Matt Eberflus
for 10, 15 minutes? Good Lord. My God. But you heard some of the names he threw out there. I love the idea of Ben Johnson, even though he's never been a head coach in this league. And look, man, there are some defensive guys who I'm intrigued by. I just prefer it be an offensive guy. One guy who's getting a lot of notice and throwing in a lot of rumors for NFL head coaching positions, Brian Flores, the Vikings defensive coordinator. But do y'all remember what Tua Tagovailoa said about playing for Brian Flores? I don't know that I want to hand Caleb Williams over to that guy, knowing that. Aaron Glenn, the Lions defensive coordinator, he's getting a lot of buzz, a lot of run as a potential head coach for the Bears or somebody else. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I'm not going to be anti-Aaron Glenn if they hire him, but I also don't love it. I want to pair, because of what you heard Jay Glazer say there at the end of the soundbite, I want to pair Caleb Williams with an offensive-minded head coach. And yes, Thomas Brown is on my list. The one defensive-minded head coach who I wouldn't mind is Bill Belichick, but as I told you earlier in the show, that ain't happening. I kind of like Joe Brady, the Bills' offensive coordinator, for going with an inexperienced offensive guy. Liam Cohen, the Buccaneers' offensive coordinator, is a guy who's gotten some buzz. He has very little experience, so he's near the bottom of my list, but he's on the list. Like I said, Ben Johnson really obviously intrigues me. The Cliff Kingsbury thing really intrigues me. And a name that I don't hear as much is the Falcons offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson. Longtime Sean McVay guy, and I like Sean McVay guys. That's why I have Thomas Brown on my list. All his coaching experience came under McVay in Los Angeles. He was their assistant QB's coach, then their assistant receiver's coach, passing game coordinator, QB's coach for 5 years, and just went to join the staff in Atlanta this year to take up that offense that is quarterbacked by Kirk Cousins. So that's my short list right there. There might be other names that come up, but that's kind of who I have my eye on right now. There's a text that came in that said, it's your fault that you're upset. The Bears are doing what they do and have always done, and you imagine them doing something they have never done. So why are you mad at them, dumbass?
He followed that up with, tell me if I come off abrasive and I apologize. Followed that up with, but if you choose to be engaged, then expect to be hurt. And then followed that up with, I hate who I become when I pretend not to care.
So I think, bend over and I'll show you.
I think he started off calling me a dumbass for caring, and then at the end hated himself for not caring. I get it.
Gilmore,
that's a full cycle of
emotion. You suck, you jackass.
That's a full cycle of emotion right there. By the way, all the emotions continue tomorrow, obviously. They'll be talking Bears and the Eberflus situation all Monday right here on The Score, including Bears wide receiver DJ Moore, who joins Mully and Haw at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, and then Jalen Johnson with Spiegel and Holmes at 5 p.m. They were two of the more outspoken guys leading up to the dismissal of Matt Eberflus. So want to tune in and hear what those guys have to say. Let's go rapid fire, get in as many phone calls as we can before I wrap this thing up. We'll start with Normal Tom of the Twitch Mob. He joins me on the air. What's up, Tom?
Hey, finally. Hey, I just wanted to follow up a little bit on what you were saying. I don't necessarily disagree with moving that interim head coach into the head coaching position, but the Bears are notorious, as you've reiterated many times.
Yes.
From just, they want yes men. And the last time they had a non-yes man was during my lifetime. I was 22 years old when the Bears won the Super Bowl in 85. And Ditka and Buddy Ryan were fantastic. And if they could have stayed together, but there were two big egos, and Ditka wanted to get rid of Ryan the next year, and the Bears flopped. They should have won four Super Bowls in a row. And I think the Bears management and ownership decided, we don't like these strong head coaches. We want to be in charge.
Yeah, they might have been, hey, Tom, I do appreciate the call and you hanging on. I want to get in a couple other people. That might have been, like, they might be traumatized by the way things went down with Mike Ditka. But he brings up the Ditka-Buddy Ryan thing and the egos at play there. Let's say Thomas Brown, like, continues to impress as an offensive-minded head coach. And so they decide to keep him in as offensive coordinator, hire, let's say, a Mike Vrabel as defensive coordinator. You're going to have guys on the offensive side of the football, just like you had guys when Mike Ditka was hired on the defensive side of the football who loved Buddy Ryan. You're going to have guys on offense going, wait a minute, why didn't our guy get the job? He did everything he needed to do to get the job. And you might have that kind of clash again between the two sides of the ball and a strong-minded head coach and a strong-minded assistant who thought maybe he should be the head coach. That's just the type of dysfunction you'd expect from the Chicago Bears. Let's go to Bartlett and Mac. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Mac?
I'm just calling in regards to, I believe Tom Brady would be the great head coach for the Chicago Bears.
Thanks for the call, Mac. It's not going to happen. He's getting paid a lot more than he would to be a head coach to just go talk about it on TV every week. Tony on the South Side, you'll be the last call. What's up, Tone? Tony, South Side, getting in his car. What's up, Tony? All right. Great way to end the show. Outstanding way to end the show. Appreciate you making the call, Tony. I wanted to get him in because it says in my call screener, Bears trending in the right direction. I wanted to see how, what's he looking at, and end this thing on a positive note. But so much for that. Our thanks to Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times, who joined me on the show. Corey Curtis of WKRN-TV in Nashville. He joined me to tell us a little bit about Mike Vrabel. And Eric Edholm from NFL.com and NFL Media. If you missed any of that, check it all out at 670thescore.com or on that handy-dandy, totally free Odyssey app. Also, thanks to all of you for contributing to the show, for listening, but all your calls, all your texts, all your tweets, you make the show better. Thanks to Sean Sears on the other side of the glass, who obviously makes the show better and helping me put this whole thing together. And don't forget, tune in tomorrow as the Bears talk continues all day Monday. DJ Moore joins Mully and Haw at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, and Jalen Johnson with Spiegel and Holmes at 5 p.m. I'll be back for another overnight shift after the Bears' first
game with Thomas Brown as head coach. So I'll be with you technically next Monday morning after the Bears and 49ers clash. Till then, I've been Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.